Hi there, folks. My name is Emily.
And my name is Elle.
And it turns out that bagpipes are not something that one can learn to play in a day.
One second. Bagpipes are not something you should try to learn to play when anybody else is in the vicinity.
The bagpipes, I'm pretty sure, are part of my cultural heritage, and I just wanted to connect with my ancestors and my genetics by playing their beautiful music and bringing their tones into this world.
Right.
But it's really hard.
So sometimes connecting with your ancestors sometimes has to happen in a very private setting, in a very remote private setting.
Okay, but here's the thing. It doesn't really get much more private than a basement, right?
So yeah, but I live in that basement too.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying, I feel like in this case, you should be the one to leave because it doesn't get much more private than a basement for me. But for you, like what you need to do, you could go somewhere else.
I did try to trick her out so I could soundproof the walls, but she's all of a sudden she's so worried about staying in the basement. The same person who was sending out balloons to friends in the wild yonder is now all of a sudden so worried about staying in the basement.
It's cold outside, though, and I don't like cold, so.
Right.
I don't know what you want from me. I can't go outside. Because you care about germs, but I can't stay inside because you'd only be playing the bagpipes. I just can't win with you.
Right. Or you could just not play the bagpipes.
See, I don't really think that that's a reasonable option.
You know what else is not a reasonable option? Taking the Archie comics and turning them into Riverdale.
Oh my goodness. I think that might be the best segue yet. Or at least the truest segue.
Yes.
Because... oh my goodness, what did I just watch?
We decided that we need to watch Riverdale, and we said, okay, we're not going to catch up on all five seasons. It started in 2017, the TV series, and it's from the CW, so that already tells you kind of, you know, everybody on the show has to be quote-unquote like a hot character. It's very much geared towards teens. Even though the original comics are from 1942, and it's apparently ran all the way to 2015 or something, before they got spin-offs, they got rebooted, a lot of things happened. But we decided, okay, we can't watch all five. Well, it's in the fifth season now. We decided we can't really catch up. We're not going to wait until we catch up on all the seasons.
Right.
Until we comment on it. But we said, okay, we'll watch at least the first couple of episodes. We barely got through the first episode. Oh.
Yeah, one.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
Before
it blew up
too far
all
into
the
it,
scales.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're gone. Now, I just want to say, before we get too far into it, because I actually have a connection with Archie Comics, which is kind of cute. So when I was in middle school, I had a friend. We all, like, there was a, it must have been his birthday party. The whole class was at his house, and I discovered that he had, like, shelves of Archie Comics, like, all of them. And he basically became my personal library. So I took, like, three home, I finished them, and then every day at school, I would give him some. Or, like, I'd return them, and then he'd bring me some more, and it was so exciting for me because I've never really read a ton of comic books. I've read some here and there. I've read Watchmen and some of the other graphic novels that are, you know, of literary importance, but I didn't really do a lot of comic books, but I loved Archie, and I loved my private library, and I will say this, a friend of mine who I had known since first grade, and I think by this time we were in eighth grade, was a little bit reluctant to do it, but I was like, you said yourself you're not reading them, so I don't know why you won't just let me read them. But that's my recollection of Archie, and they're funny, and what is Riverdale? Like, it just totally ruined this beautiful nostalgic thing.
Yeah, and also, you know, the Archie comics really start from the time when the stuff they used to write for teens was a little bit more fun and little bit less dark. Everything has to be
dark.
We all
want to die.
Batman, everything. Yeah. I actually don't mind. So I know, maybe some people might not like that they turn into the whole murder mysteries things. I don't mind it so much only because this way I'm not, I'm like, it's not, if it's not a strict adaptation, then I almost, it's more like inspired by the characters. I don't mind that they tried to do something else with it, that they made it. I mind what it actually turned into, but I don't mind that, we're going to make this a murder mysteries, or murder mystery instead. I mean, it is kind of dark to go that way, and the coloring is very saturated coloring, very dark coloring.
Who's like a blood redhead, not like an orangey red. Yeah. I do wonder, supposedly after the original run of comics ended in 2015, they rebooted them in 2015, I guess like right away, with darker themes and different aesthetic. I've never read those, so I don't know. Maybe the murder mystery thing comes from there. Because while I, again, as we've talked about with adaptations do not need to be 100% strictly true to the source material. But in this case, since it so far seems to be nothing connected to the source material except the names and a little bit about like Archie playing football, why use these characters? Why not just create, if you want to do a teenage murder mystery, do a teenage murder mystery. Make up your own characters. I don't know. There's so many things created today that are supposed to be nostalgic, but then it totally distorts the things that people are nostalgic about. And then what's the point of harkening back to things that people love if you just do it in a way that not even like, it doesn't even celebrate the thing that people love. It just totally distorts it. I find that a weird choice.
Yeah. Well, I also wonder, considering when these first started and what, you know, when this came out in 2017, I wonder if their target audience is not necessarily, and it's on the CW. So the target audience is not necessarily people who grew up with Archie. Either those might be the creators might be involved in that. But it would be curious to know if the audience, how much of the teenagers who are watching it actually know the original Archie comics. But that's a good point. Anyways, and also the Jughead character is interesting because he's much more silly in the comics. And here he's like, you know, he's writing the novel. He's kind of writing what happens as it's happening, which is kind of weird because he's writing, looking back, and living through it at the same time. So I don't really know if they figured out the timeline on that, like how that happens. Like how he knows that certain things happen that he wasn't there for. And then like people come to him while he's in the middle of writing.
I guess like, the next thing hasn't happened yet. Series to find out.
Yeah. Oh, to find out where the time travel fits in.
Okay, so should we talk about the totally blown up and completely ruined scales?
Yeah, oh my God. So the pilot, usually for the show pilots, what they want to do, pilots are sometimes 50-50 because sometimes they're like a little bit slow. They don't fully get off the ground. It's like, okay, you have to give the series another watch or two before you're going to find before the story is going to start to click for you or before you appreciate what they're doing here. Here, it felt like the pilot just like, you want to see how far we're willing to go? We'll do everything at the same time in this pilot, which is why everything blew up. Because it starts off, they're beginning their sophomore year. Remember sophomore year before we tell you about all the stuff that they've done. Okay.
And sophomore, I believe they say sophomore, like 15 or 16. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Because the first time we're introduced to Betty, she's sitting on her bed, like without her shirt on, just in her bra. And she's got a guy friend in there, but he's gay. So apparently if someone's gay, you're allowed to sit around like half naked in front of them. I don't know why that's okay. Right. Like, put your shirt on. And she also goes to her window when the light's on at night. She goes, like, close to her window to look across at our Archie's house. People will see you. Your light's on. And it's nighttime.
That's the first thing I remember not the first thing, but something I specifically remember my parents teaching me is, oh, when it's nighttime and there's light inside, you can't see out as well, but people can see in very well. And I thought, that's something really interesting to keep in mind. And my mom and I both, like, the second it starts to get dark, we close the blinds because even if we're not getting undressed, even if we're just cooking dinner, like I don't need people seeing into my home. Yeah. Some privacy.
Don't look. Yeah. Exactly. So, and it's, she's like totally like, and there's also this thing that like apparently over the summer, Archie got abs or Archie got like thin and Archie got buff over the summer. So apparently everyone's just drooling all over him, right? You have Galsy, Betty and Veronica, which is part of the main story. Then they took one of the teachers, Miss Grundy, who's supposed to be, that you pointed out, was supposed to be older and strict, but she drives, they made her like a young teacher. She looks like she's in her 20s, 30s. She drives by him and he's picking up his shirt to wipe his face. They see the abs and also she just can't control herself. They end up in the back of her car. How does that even make sense?
Right. See, that's the kind of adaptation. If they had just said, you know what, we like having Miss Grundy as a young teacher instead of an old teacher, reasonable adaptation. You know, you have to, maybe that would add something specific. But if the thing you're adding is, now we're going to have this student sleep with a teacher, it is so, it's actually really disgusting how, like, again,
maybe it's summer after ninth grade. He's not even 10th grade yet. Yeah.
Right, right. That's a 14, maybe 15-year-old, and maybe they make a bigger deal of it in the later seasons. Hopefully they do. But, like, that's rape. That's not someone making a mistake. I mean, on Archie's – but that's not someone making a mistake. That is an adult taking advantage of a child. It doesn't matter that it's a woman who's older and a male who's younger. That is rape. It's inappropriate. And it feels – it's gross, but it's like
– don't let your children anywhere near Riverdale, basically. Pull the plug.
Yeah.
Disconnect
like
the Wi-Fi.
It just feels like too normalized. I don't know. It's problematic.
Well, they try to do it because they heard like the gunshot that ended up killing, that killed the kid. But like they ended up, there's a murder, right? So there's a kid. They start off in the morning, go down. One of the kids ends up dead. And at the end of the episode, spoiler alert, they see that he was, first they make it seem like, oh, he must have drowned or something. And then at the end of the episode, he has the bullet. So first of all, if they anyways discovered there's the bullet wound, them having heard the shot without any other evidence is kind of like irrelevant to the plot anyways. It's almost like, no, we can't tell anybody that we were there, we saw it, because then they're going to say, why were you two there and you saw it? And we have to admit that we were doing what we shouldn't have done. But that's the thing also, when they do these, like, they're having it for the CW, and they're officially targeting teens, but the people, the actors who are playing these parts are not, they're older than teens. So these teens are basically acting like adults. Which I guess because like, oh yeah, of course, they're not going to be like, hi mom, we're going here, we're going there, right? You don't want, I mean, there are parents in this, but if it's for teens, you're not going to have them, you know, act like childish. But at the same time, they're behaving in a way that adults would behave.
Yes.
Not in the way, like, that's not how teenagers behave.
No. And if they, No, because it makes it seem less bad that that this teacher slept with a student because the actor looks a little bit older than 15 or 16, whatever a sophomore would be. They look, the actors very well might be of similar age.
And they're behaving like adults. Yeah.
Right. So it's, you know, and he's really in love with her and it's, and she doesn't come across as creepy. Like a teacher like that should be creepy. She comes across, like she even tries to stop it. She says, we shouldn't do this anymore. Like she's acting moral after doing something.
No.
Completely immoral and also illegal.
Think of ninth grade boys, you know. Yeah, think of the ninth grade boys, you know. Like many, most of them are dweebs. Sorry, most kids are dweebs as ninth graders.
Yes,
like even going to 10th grade.
Ninth grade dweebs. That's a really good title for a young adult book, by the way. Like, I was a ninth grade dweeb or something like that. I think we should keep that in mind.
Oh, and then, okay, so there's another scene also. So that was also interesting, the way they introduced Betty and Veronica. Like, Betty's the girl next door. Veronica's, you know, the rich kid who comes. She doesn't act so spoiled, which is interesting. I think she's supposed to be, like, the spoiled girl character, and she's not. She seems like someone, like, she's all into Archie, but then she sees that Betty's into Archie, so she tries to encourage Betty, you know, to make a move with Archie. So, like, you don't see her as being someone, even though somehow she ends up kissing Archie anyways, and everybody's kissing everybody. And then there's at one point where Betty wants to be a cheerleader. So Veronica says, okay, I'll try out with you. Because Veronica knows, like, what Veronica wants, Veronica's going to get. But the way she's portrayed in the TV series is not because, oh, she's a rich girl, she's going to get it. It seems like they're portraying the rich in the series that, like, if Veronica wants it, she's going to get it because Veronica gets it. Like, she will get stuff. She's a strong character who will get it. But so they go to try out for the cheerleading, and the girl's in charge of it, who's more Veronica than Veronica, whatever. I don't know what her deal is. But she's like, no. Like, I don't know if you guys have what it takes, whatever. So apparently, in order to have what it takes, Veronica just kisses Betty. Like, what is that?
Right.
What is that?
The idea of kissing a girl that I had just met the night before for...
And they're not into each other.
Tryout that has nothing to do with kissing. That was very weird.
Yeah,
that well, it's it just so that, like that felt like, oh, this is the first episode. We're gonna shock you. Like, because then the girl running the cheerleading tryouts even said, because she says, "Oh, I want some more heat." And Veronica says, "Well, how's this?" And she kisses Betty. But then the girl leading the tryout says, "That's not what like." That's not heat. That's not even, like, girls kissing isn't even exciting anymore. So They for sure just put that in.
Yeah.
Well, either they put it into shock us or later forced. Betty and Veronica become lesbians and we just haven't watched enough of the show to find out.
Yeah, I don't care to watch that show if that's what it is. But it's also, it's like, stop it. Like, stop trying to just put everything in to just put it in. I said it felt like it was very difficult to get through this pilot. It was like, what am I watching? What is this? It's garbage. It's absolute garbage.
Yes. And again, when you remember, oh my goodness, these are sophomores. Like, these aren't college students. If this show was about college students, I think I would feel very differently about everything that happened. But they're 15, 16. It's weird.
Everything's just... we have one fun fact is that one of the people, the person who plays Betty is Lily Reinhardt, and she was in Chemical Hearts. And you all know what we think about that. And if you don't, you could go back to our Chemical Hearts episode a couple episodes ago to find out about that one. More depressed teenagers, dark teenagers stuff.
Okay, you think that the art and the media that's being produced for teenagers is dark because that's where teenagers are? Or are teenagers there because the media is dark? Like, are they affecting each other? Which one was first? What is going on with teens today? Like, why is so much stuff about suicide and depression and sadness?
I don't know. I think we're just, as a society, we're just trying to talk about so many things and allow the stuff to be discussed that we went, like, off the deep end with it. But it's not just that. A lot of media has gone, like, saturated colors. Everything has gone darker. Like, Batman used to be campy and, like, fun. And Batman got, like, really dark. Which, sure, it kind of fits the Batman character, but it's still, like, everything has gone darker. Everything in general has gone darker.
Sometimes it's so dark you can't even see properly what's going on screen. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, yes, yeah.
Like, I can't even see what you're trying to show me because your colors are too dark.
Yeah.
Which,
like, I don't know. I saw a little bit of Gotham. Gotham also is very dark. It's like the dark Batman origin story. And that also went very, very sad. Like, darker colors, darker everything with that one also. We're just into dark stuff now. We, like, have a thing now for, like, dark stuff.
Yeah. It was interesting. I was talking to my cousin about it and asking her. I just brought up that I had watched Riverdale. And I was talking about, you know, it's so weird that everything's dark. And she made a comment that I thought was interesting. She said, you know, there's something to be said when your life is going kind of okay, but, you know, everyone has his or her own problems. So there's something reassuring sometimes about seeing a story of, you know, like a tough luck situation, like someone born into poverty or someone born with some sort of physical or mental disability. So their situations are tough, but they overcome it. So you can see dark or depressing situations and people overcome it. But that's a very different thing than seeing people who are sort of in these chosen dark circumstances or who have demons and they don't choose to deal with them properly. Like, there's going to be art and media that's dark and depressing, but there's just a difference between people, like, choosing to be depressed and people who have sort of unfortunate circumstances that they're born into or surrounding them. I just thought that was an interesting interesting food for thought.
Yeah. And also just in general, the way we've gone, it's more like, it almost brings home like romanticizing it all, which is terrible and horrific. We should not romanticize dark stuff. I mean, this is a totally different topic, but there's always like, so many times you'll see in books or stories, you know, the guy from the other side of the tracks, who's this like dark, broody guy. Like, you would never allow him into your house. Like, why are you making a love story around him? You would never let your friend date him. And if you do, you're a bad friend. You do not let your friend date the dark, broody guy who has the dark mystery, really disturbed trauma past that needs, like, actual, like, real medical help to, like, get through what he's gone through.
Right.
Not that he's a bad person, but he needs help. Let him get the help first, and then, then you can deal with the next step. But here it is. All this, because the fact everything's gone this way, it's almost like a romantic, it's like romanticized. It's almost like in the art, you know, the art form, the romantic art form, that's also that darkness to it. Back in the 1800s, they were going to sketch, like, people in mental institutes. And stuff like that. Yeah. That's also romanticism. So we've taken it literally.
Yes. Yeah, it's just... This is sort of related. And I wish I could remember where I read it. But if you listen to music today versus... Listen to music from the 40s. If you remember... And the 30s. People in the 30s and 40s were dealing with the Depression and World War II. But the music is really happy and positive. And it's very different from pop music today. Not that there's, I mean, there's always been sad songs or slow songs that have, you know, there's always a mix, but generally speaking, and I was reading one somewhere that happier times, I guess people are missing meaning, so they create really, they create darker art, and then in dark times, people need the escape, so they create lighter art, which would explain why in the 40s and 30s, the music was happier, and it's, I just wonder if there's some similarity today that as much as people complain about how bad life is, really, in the United States and for so many people throughout the world, life is pretty great, but especially for the people consuming this kind of content. Most of them probably don't have to worry about where their food's coming from. They go to schools. They probably live in a comfortable house. They have clothing. They have all their needs and more taken care of. And because of that, they're missing some sort of meaning. And people aren't really religious anymore, so they're not getting their meaning in the right places. So they create all this dark stuff because that feels meaningful, even though it's like, you know how people
like we explore the darker part of the soul. Yeah.
Right. Because if you're sad and dark, that means you're paying attention. Whereas if you're happy, obviously you're
feeling. You're, it's almost like they're looking to feel something.
Yes. Yeah. Good way of, exactly.
Huh. So. Well, now that we've discovered that.
Wow. We've figured out all of these crazy, depressing, suicide-filled things that we, I mean, really, how many things have we talked about for teens that have been depressing?
A lot.
A good number, right?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. I mean, there's enough that's also not, but there's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, here's another thought I have, and I want your opinion on it. So, bad enough that Betty is, you know, sitting in front of her male friend with just a bra on. Is it problematic that she is on TV with just a bra on? Now follow me on this, because the actress is probably over 18, but she's playing a teenager, and teenagers, like, we don't want to see teenagers sexualized. We don't have child pornography. Those are things that are immoral and wrong. So even though she's not technically, I mean, I don't know how old Lily Reinhart is, but I think she's older, even though she's not actually underage, is it still wrong to have her portrayed in that way on TV?
Absolutely.
Or any, like, of the girls?
Yes. It's like the same thing that we say when they, like, mime sleeping together and there are older people playing teenagers sleeping together. Yes. But also, Betty's supposed to be, like, the sweet girl next door. She doesn't make moves. She doesn't whatever. Why is she sitting around without her shirt on? There's no reason for it.
Yeah, it's
There's
weird.
Absolutely no reason for her to have been sitting around without her shirt on.
No. It didn't add anything. Listen, to the story, except to kind of let us know right away he was gay. But there are a million ways it could have let us know he was gay. I mean, they do. They just continually let us know.
Yeah, and yes, it was not necessary, and it should not have been done. That's again, this whole pilot was just like, let's put in all the stuff they're willing to show all at the same time. And all the stuff that they're willing to show all at the same time, each one is more horrific than the next. That this is what you want to show. Like, do you want to tell a story, or you just want to be, like, you know, sexualizing everything? So apparently the latter is the answer, and that's terrible. And that's why you should keep your children away from this garbage. Absolute garbage.
Total garbage. It actually, I have to add in one more thing, because so I watched this episode, and then I, later in the day, I happened to turn on an episode of Law and Order SVU was on TV, and I caught about the last 10 minutes of it. And in the episode, there was a young girl who was missing. I think she's also supposed to have been a sophomore. She was missing, and then they find out that she has run off with her music teacher, who's like 40, and they're in love. So it's not that he kidnapped her, because, you know, that would be a different situation. It's that they're in love with each other and they're sleeping together. Then it turns out that actually he's her father, but she didn't know because her mother.
Oh, that's so gross.
Her. Okay. So then it's worse. But at the end of the episode, the detective is talking to the girl and telling her, like, you know, he took advantage of you. Like, this was wrong. And the girl finds out that it's her father, but instead of being disgusted, she's like, oh, I always knew we had a special connection.
Oh, gross.
And it was so creepy. And I mean, the detective looks at her like she's crazy, but I was like, this, it just, seeing the two right after the other, I thought, how normalized is it getting, this idea that it's okay for adults to take advantage of children? Like, it's so wrong. But the more I firmly believe, and I don't know if studies back this up, though I think they do, that like the more you see something, even though you think, oh, they're commenting on it and saying you shouldn't happen, the more they do it, the more normal it gets.
Oh, for sure. So you think about the more like, times, the more time you see a certain word, the first time it was like, oh, terrible they said that word. But eventually you give up like being horrified by saying that word.
Exactly. So, yeah, adults and children. That's not like romantic. It's not, oh, the kid is in love and it can work out. It's immoral. It's illegal. It's disgusting. We should punish the adults who perpetrate that. We should get help for the kids who are in those situations. And we should not have it on TV so much.
And we should stop pretending like love is like an answer for things. Like, first of all, in those cases, it's probably an infatuation. And we have to distinguish between that. And second of all, love is not the answer for things. Because love can be unhealthy. And it can be put in the wrong place. So stop pretending like, oh, because love, so that's the answer to everything. Like, no, it isn't. There's way more beyond that.
Speaking of love, I do want to say that I was, well, because there's this gay character in Riverdale, Kevin. That's the one that Betty was half undressed in front of. And at first I thought, oh, okay, here we go, a gay character. But it turns out that he actually was introduced in the comics at some point, either in 1989 or 2010. I couldn't tell when the comic that he was introduced in was published. It was one of those 2 years, so it's semi-recent. I mean, not surprisingly, they're probably not going to put in a gay character in 1942.
Yeah.
And then there's a scene where he and Moose, which is a character I do remember. I think he's another jock. Moose, he might be kind of a – was he a bully or was he just kind of a thick-headed guy?
Yeah, I thought he was like a thick – I don't remember bully either, but I remember him being like a thick-headed kind of guy.
Yeah, maybe it was just that. And then he and this character, Kevin, are going to – basically, they're going to have – they're going to do everything but kiss because this one guy, Moose, is trying to like, he says he's not gay, but he'll have gay sex, which is, like, again, no judgment if you're an adult, but if you're 15 or 16,
to think finding a corpse saved us from seeing that.
No. So, I mean, in that case, actually, the violence was good.
Oh man, the only thing you could say about this is I don't think there was any f-bomb in the pilot, but basically everything else is just horrific and terrible.
That's true. And actually I looked on the parents guide on IMDb. It seems like the language, I mean, it definitely goes, they have the B word, you know, calling women something inappropriate and calling guys some inappropriate things too, but it didn't mention anything about any f-bombs, so they're keeping the language, you know, a nice PG 17 or something.
Yeah, it's not doing us any favors. Yeah. And it's all just whatever. And Archie's the jock and he's the musician, so he's got both going for him. Oh, and he has abs. Right. So there's just, Archie is just so irresistible. Just so irresistible.
I mean, the way you described him just now was almost irresistible to me. Except then I remember that I'm an adult and he's 16. And then I thought, oh, okay. Now it's resistible.
Gross. Yeah, exactly. See how that works? You just say, oh, no, and then you don't. And that's how it goes.
Right.
Come on, people. Like, come on.
I know. It's a, I mean, in a way, I kind of recommend people watch an episode only because I think it's a really good indication. Like,
no, you know, stay away from it. It's garbage. Just trust it's all garbage.
Okay, I guess
don't,
just
don't even go near it. Don't get them the view.
Because we've talked about so many like teen books, and books are a little bit, obviously take longer, but if someone just wants to get an idea of all the stuff that we're talking about that's wrong with young adult entertainment, this is it.
Oh yeah, that's right. This is definitely an epitome of all that stuff. Definitely.
Yeah.
But still don't give them, they should not get the view. No, but
yeah, gross. That's
it's good. All gross. And it's not going to get better. We're not watching the rest of these episodes or seasons, but there's no way it's getting better. There's no way that they're not going to try to like do more things to shock everybody. Or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's no. Hard no on all of this.
Hard no. So I'm guessing that bagpipes are starting to sound a little bit more appealing compared to this.
You know what? I would prefer even your contacting your ancestry with the bagpipes over Riverdale. Absolutely.
Yes, I see. I knew.
But it's a lesser of two evils.
You know what? I'm okay with being a lesser of two evils in this case.
They're still both horrific.
Fair. But this one's like morally horrific. Mine is just like your ears might bleed horrific.
Right. You know what? I should go back to try to soundproof my room and see if that helps to stop your son from coming into my room.
I mean, that's probably a good idea. Plus, you chew really loudly.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
what?
I mean, it could be like a marshmallow and I can hear you all the way over here. I'm just saying. So, you know, maybe it would work out for both of us.
Yeah, probably. We should probably just soundproof every single room by like on its own. Okay, that's a good idea. We have what to do now. Excellent. 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 Now that we're not watching any more of these episodes, we could go soundproof everything. Good.
Yes, we have time because we don't have to slog through 5 seasons. Ladies and gentle folk, do yourself a favor. Don't watch this show. Read the comics instead. Read the original comics. If you want some fun Archie, that's what you should do. Avoid Riverdale. It's depressing and it's gross.
And it's terrible. Exactly. All right. On that happy note. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers, people.
Oh My Word podcast is brought to you by the Pearl Clutching Basement Dwellers at Oh My Word. Follow us on Instagram for updates at Oh My Word Podcast or like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For full episode notes and detail, visit eltenenbaum.com. Music is by Tim Burke. Sound is by Gabriel Yaffe. See you next time.